When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Tiger fans, welcome to another episode of Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club. I am the Corey C. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. You can find us anywhere you find podcasts, whether it be the Apple Podcast app, the Google Podcast app, Spotify, and of course YouTube. So make sure you follow the show and tell every Tiger that you know. And remember, when you support Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club, it all helps the cause, which is the I Love Jackson State University. All right, the last of the major sports pro leagues kicks off this week, and BetOnline is your top spot for all your NBA action this season. With MLB postseason, NFL and college football, and NHL in full swing, BetOnline is your number one source for wagering, news, odds, trends, and predictions. Get everything NBA at your fingertips with both desktop and mobile access for every sport anytime. So head on over to BetOnline today to get in on the action. And don't forget to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, let's get right to it. He needs no introduction. He's QB1. Welcome to the show. Finally, Jacobian Morgan.
What's up, Cole? How you doing?
Hey, man, doing well, man. I'm glad to finally have you on the show. I know we've been talking about this since before the season started, but we had some hiccups. But I think this is the right time to bring you on.
Yeah, it's perfect timing, perfect timing.
No doubt, man. So how's everything? How's life?
Everything's going good, you know, just day by day, taking everything one day at a time. So a lot of new things going on, but just day by day.
Absolutely. A lot of things and a lot that we can talk about. We want to get to it, but let's take it back. Let's start back in high school. I know you wanted your proud Canton Tigers, so let's go back to Canton. Exit 119, yes, as they say. Yes, class of 2020, three-star quarterback. But I want to talk about their recruitment because I follow recruiting closely. Ken, Clark, Zoe, the whole Tiger Talk family, we're all over it. And we remember back in high school, we saw your name as far as Jackson State recruiting heavily. And, you know, we thought we may get you. So tell me what you remember about their recruitment.
Yeah, see, growing up, I always knew about Jackson State. That's what I grew up in. Jackson State, mm-hmm. That's all the thing I love. So when I got the offer, like, I was pretty much sure that I was going to Jackson State, and that was like my mind was made up. But then I had, you know, had Syracuse to come in. They started talking a little good things about what they can do and how they can, you know, how I could benefit from them. But yeah, my main mindset was I always been Jackson State. Like I said, I actually really didn't grow up in that stadium. That's all I know. Jackson State taught me everything I know. So it was a bittersweet moment because I knew I was leaving my hometown and the school that I always wanted to attend, but I'm glad I'm back now.
So I'm glad you cleared that up because that's what we heard. You know, it's always rumors, but those of us who followed it closely, we thought we were getting Jacobian Morgan and Jackson State, and then we saw Syracuse. So just for the record, you're saying Jackson State was close to signing you. How close, and why did we miss out?
Yeah, Jackson State was very close. Like, I pretty much knew. Like, actually, at one point, my coach, he was telling coaches, like, you know, he's going to Jackson State. You don't even have to recruit him. So I knew, I had my mind made up, and then it was just last minute, you know, the bigger school, that type of thing. And it was just, you know, bigger. You know, at that time, it was like the public, and you want to, you know, put yourself in the best shoes for your family and situation like that. So, yeah, it was always Jackson State, though, but kind of just last minute thing.
That man, yep. And so you said you kind of grew up in the stadium. You have immediate family members who went to Jackson State, right? Your mom, did she go to Jackson State?
Yes, sir. My stepmom, she went to Jackson State. My
stepmom, okay.
Yeah, my auntie, she's a diehard Jackson State. She went to Jackson State. I have a lot of family members that go to Jackson State.
So ultimately, you know, like you said, you end up going to Syracuse. Now, that's pretty far away from the SIP. Was that your first time being that far away from home?
Yeah, but it really didn't affect me. But it definitely was like the farthest I ever been away from home. It was a new, you know, a new culture shock, but I felt like it was nothing I couldn't handle. Only thing, you know, it was very cold up there, but, you know, coming from Mississippi all the way to New York, the snow, we don't really get snow down here. So that was the fun thing that I was experiencing, actually a new life that's out there. So, I mean, it was a culture shock, but, you know, I enjoyed my time up there.
What was the biggest adjustment? I know you talk about the snow. It doesn't snow much in Mississippi, but other than that, what would you say was the biggest adjustment?
Just getting to know, like, all different kinds of life, like people that doesn't look like you, that may not talk like you, that may not, you know, do the things you do. But, you know, just growing as a family up there and, you know, having bonds that I have now, that was the biggest thing.
Gotcha. So talk about your time playing with the Orange. I remember you getting some starts early on at quarterback up there.
Yeah, I had a couple starts up there, you know, when it was DeVito, a couple guys before me, older guys, and they ended up getting hurt during that COVID year, and I ended up starting a couple of games. I ended up getting hurt that same year with the concussion during my Louisville game. And from that point on, we had my coach kind of got fired. So we had a new quarterback coach, new whole offensive staff to come in. And they kind of like, you know, if you're a football player, you know, if you're the coach that recruited you and he ended up leaving, that's probably not the best situation for you. But I ended up trying to stay, trying to stick through it, you know, still compete with the guys that they were bringing in. I still had a great time up there competing with the guys. I was going back and forth. But, you know, as the coach that just come in, he's going to play the guys he wanted to play. So I respected it and understood it.
Yep. You talk about, you know, the importance of the coach that recruited you being there. So let's go back to your Jackson State recruitment. Who was the lead recruiter back then, the first time around? Who recruited you out of high school from Jackson State?
It was Coach TC. Yeah, he was my main recruiter. Yeah, he was my main recruiter. He, I remember like it was yesterday. We went to a basketball game, and he was right there just telling me how much he wanted me to be at Jackson State. And I knew, I pretty much was knowing at that time, I knew everything about Jackson State. He was just another coach talking to me, but I could have told him everything about Jackson State too. So it was a fun time. It was, you know, yeah, he was the main one recruiting me. And, yeah, it's crazy how you see it here to this day.
Absolutely, man. It worked out the way it was supposed to, because you look up and TC Taylor is the head coach at Jackson State, the person who recruited you, and you've already talked about the importance of the recruiter being there. So now the recruiter is the head coach. So how surprised were you to see that, and how much of a factor did that play into your decision to come to Jackson State?
Yeah, it played a huge factor. And when he became head coach, I kind of knew, like, okay, this is the man that recruited me, and I know I got, you know, we got good energy towards each other, got a good relationship. So when I seen that, I was already leaning towards Jackson State anyway, but when I seen him actually, the head coach, and actually get the job, I was locked in from that point on.
So talk about the recruitment this time around. I know you said the first time they said, you don't even have to recruit him, he's coming. So was it take much of a recruitment? Were there some other schools in the picture, or was it just a no-brainer, Jackson State or nothing?
No, it was a no-brainer. Like, I was telling other schools, like, I'm pretty much locked in on Jackson State. I had got off social media. I didn't want to talk to no other coaches, because I knew I was mainly locked in on Jackson State just because of what happened previous. Like, I kind of swayed myself at the last minute to go to Syracuse. They ended up, you know, still a good decision, but this time I wanted to lock in and focus on what I knew I was going to do, go with my first mind and go forth through it.
So how excited was your family, especially the ones who went to Jackson State, who wanted to see you here the first time?
Oh yeah, it was a boom in my family. We crying, everybody congratulations, you know. So it was a big day, a big moment for everybody. And you know, I expected with everything that I got from him, I expected every family member to be crying, calling, texting. Yeah, so it was a big day.
Right. So the first time around coming out of high school, did you take an official visit to Jackson State?
Yeah, I did. I came on an official.
When you came back the second time around, what did you think when you saw the upgraded facilities? Because it was a big difference, right? You were talking about the practice field, the locker room, the player lounge, and even the weight room was recently upgraded. So what did you think when you remember back to what you saw the first time?
Yeah, it was a huge upgrade, you know, like seeing Jackson State from as a kid and always just being around until now just walking around, look like a whole different place. It was an amazing vibe. It was everything that looked organized and you know, a great facility. So they just added to what I already knew and what I already felt about Jackson State. So yeah, it was a huge boost.
And when did you officially get to campus? Was it summer or was it actually in the fall?
It was summer. Yeah.
Okay. The first session or the second?
Yeah, the first session.
Okay, so you got there for the first session. So you got a little bit of a late start compared to, you know, some of the other guys, but you were in that quarterback race the entire time, and then you suffered that hand injury. So talk to us about the injury, what you can disclose now. I know back then a lot of people didn't know. The fans were wondering, where's Jacobian Morgan? Is he in the mix? Why is he not playing? But again, they just didn't know that a lot of it had to do with that hand injury. So how disappointing was that, and how much of a setback was that?
Yeah, it was a very disappointing time because it was like 2 weeks until the game, you know, until our first game, I think. And it was a freak accident. You know, the guys, we was competing like we always do, threw a pass, came down on his helmet, and instantly I knew something was wrong with it. I couldn't grip nothing. It was just steady swelling. So kind of pulled me to the side, and I didn't feel too good. I didn't feel happy about what I was looking at that time. So, yeah, we ended up having surgery 2 days later. It was successful surgery, you know, very fast and efficient. So I was out for a whole month without playing football, and I didn't travel the first four games at all. So we tried to keep it away from the media because there was just something that we didn't want to publicize at that time, and just didn't want all that attention focused on the wrong thing. We just wanted to focus on the game. So, yeah, after that, you know, it was a tough time, you know, just doing rehab 3-4 times a day, because originally they was looking at like 8 weeks.
Wow.
That I was going to be out. But, yeah, but we started doing rehab like 3-4 times a day. And so that 8 weeks became just a month, 4 weeks. So
wow.
I ended up being able to get out of my cast 4 weeks. And then the day I got out my cast, I realized I could grip a football, and I was just from here to 1 yard. It was just me and one of my receivers. I'm just trying to, you know, just give them a touch pass, see how I feel. First day was kind of iffy, but then the second day I kind of started gaining my strength and gaining my confidence that, you know, just believe in it. You know, it's fixed now. So, yeah, just all of that just playing in a part, you know, trying to get that finger back right. But now it's 100%. I feel very healthy about it. I feel like I can do anything just like that I've been doing before then. So, yeah.
Wow. So this was an 8-week injury, but you pretty much doubled up on the rehab to cut the time in half?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. 8 weeks, cut it to 4.
Wow. Yep. And like you said, you wanted to kind of keep it out of the media. That's, and I joked earlier about us talking to you about coming on the show earlier in the season. That's when we were going to have you on the show, and then saw you had the cast on. We said, "Nah, let's scrap that interview. We don't want to put that out there." So absolutely. So yeah, we would have you on the show then. Now you mentioned not traveling the team, but did you travel on your own? Did I see you in Atlanta?
Yeah, I definitely got in that truck because it was like that was my guys, that was my brothers, and there's just nothing in me that just could sit at the house. So I just got in the truck, I drove them little hours, and got on back. And it was actually, they had to tell me like the next game, because I was willing to do it every game. Them really like my brothers out there, and I really love them guys. So it was like, I'd do it every week, like the FAMU game. Every game I was willing to, you know, get in that truck and drive. So yeah, it was a funny, fun moment. But now looking back on them, glad, you know, I stayed at the house, did my rehab, and got back out of there quicker.
So they had to tell you to stop coming. Stop going to the game.
I was coming. Like, when nobody go tell me not to come. Like, it was TC, my quarterback coach. I was coming.
That's funny. But that just shows your support, man. Shows you, you know, team player. You know, you got everybody's back. That's huge to see for them to see that early on, seeing that you had their back, especially as the quarterback. So now it's your opportunity. You don't have to prove anything to them. They already know this guy, you know, he's with us. He's for us, for you to make, you know, make those sacrifices to go up there, especially when you had that injury. So definitely that says a lot about you. I know you were itching to get that opportunity. What was the first game that you were actually cleared to play in?
The first game I was cleared to play in was the Texas State game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but
You didn't see any snaps that game, though, right?
Yeah, I didn't see any snaps that game. That was like my first week back, so I really didn't practice much. Mm-hmm. I probably practiced like one time. I was doing little periods, individual periods. but I really didn't get no plays or anything. So that counted. I actually started to count that until like the fifth week because I really barely even touched the ball or anything. But yeah, that was the game I actually suited up and I was on the sideline. I knew I probably wasn't going to play, but I was on the sideline with my guys.
All right, so you didn't play against Texas State, and then we had a couple more, and then we had a bye, and then your first snaps were against Alabama A&M, right?
Yeah, it was against Alabama A&M. Coach had wanted me to, you know, start to feel a game, feel a, you know, feel the energy of the game, get me back into it. So we kind of had like this pace for me on the goal line. So when it was time, we got on the goal line, it was time to use it. Coach believed him, he had confidence enough to put me out there, and actually came out in that game with two rushing touchdowns. So, yeah.
Yep.
That was a big moment.
Yep. Absolutely. Let's talk about those situational snaps there. You talk about goal line plays, the quarterback keepers, and most of it. It seemed like every time you touched it, it went for a touchdown in the first couple
of
games.
Yeah, definitely. It was crazy. Yeah.
But that running ability, it surprised a few people because you were mostly considered a pro-style quarterback at Canton. So where did the running come from? Did you always have that in you?
I mean, the crazy thing, it kind of surprised me too. I sit back there in the pocket all day, and that's what I love to do. That's my job. But, you know, learning from Syracuse and learning, you know, just going up there and experience what I had to experience, a running part of the quarterback is definitely a huge part, just as the arm. Like, you can't just sit back there and be a one read guy and, you know, take sacks. So you have to be able to use your legs and use your arms just as well. So once I started to learn that part of the game, I started to develop, like, running skills and just working on my running just as much as I work on my arms. So then when it came to it in the game, it just felt natural to me. But, yeah, I was never actually a runner. Like, even my dad, when he came home, he was like, "Where you get this running from?" I was like, I don't even know. I just been just working out in it, working out on it. And so having it just paid off.
Yep. And it was several games, I think, before you even attempted a pass. I don't know if you attempted a pass before your first start.
Crazy, right?
So was that because of the hand injury or was that just the strategy and that was by design?
Yeah, it was more of the strategy and by design because I was throwing by that time in practice. It was just the goal line packages that worked out. So we just wanted to run because, you know, it's right there. So you might as well just try your luck and running first. But if those things didn't work, we probably were still going to pass. And actually, the homecoming game, that was a pass, but I ended up running it. So
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Jake from State Farm here, hanging out with Mel's Mow & Grow. Mel chose State Farm for small business insurance because his local agent is a small business owner, too. So she knew how to help him personalize his policies. And now, he's rolling in the green. Like a good neighbor. Guys, I'm trying to do the line.
Oh, sorry, Jake.
It's all good. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
All right, and then your first game at Mississippi Valley State, your first start. Mm-hmm. You talked about it earlier. You mentioned your dad, but you get that huge surprise right before the game. So tell us about that.
Yeah, that threw me. That was crazy. I thought he was coming home on Thanksgiving, and he just popped up. So it was very emotional. You guys put the video out on it. So I haven't really looked at it. I looked at it once.
Really?
And when I seen it, it made me emotional again. So I've been trying to stay away from it, trying not to look at it too many times, because it still hit me. It's still new to me. But yeah, that was crazy. It was a whole lot of emotion. My family was in the stands, and my dad, first start. There's a lot going into that game.
Wow. So talk about that, all the emotions, of course, your first start, your family, your dad, and you know, I would imagine, well, I don't know. Were you nervous before that? Before you saw him, were you already nervous? And if so, did that make you more nervous, or was that the thing that made you nervous? Just talk to me about those nerves.
Yeah, I'm not a nervous guy, because like I feel like I've been doing this since I was a kid. So me being nervous, if I'm nervous, I feel like I'm not prepared. So I was prepared the whole week. So when he came, it wasn't a sense of nervousness. And when I seen my family, I wasn't nervous. It was just the emotions is what I had at that time. But now I'm crying and, you know, doing all of that there is just trying to get myself back to game mode and get my mind back right to game mode. But no, I wasn't nervous or anything like that.
How long had it been since you last saw him before that?
It's been a while. It was like, I really can't remember. I know it was like 5. I really want to say like 7 months, because when I came home, he was already gone. But I had came home prior to when I first came home for that first summer session, and I seen him, and that's when he told me. So I'm thinking it was around, I want to say March or somewhere up in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it'd have been a few months.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So, you know, despite all the emotions, you go out there and get the victory 21-7 over Valley. Should have been 21-0. Actually, probably should have been about, well, what do you think that score should have been?
It should have been.
We know it should have been a 0 on one side, but what about on the offense? What do you think that should have been?
And the standard we hold each other to is supposed to be way higher. And we knew that. That's why we wanted to come out this game, well, last week's game, and actually show everybody what we can do. But it's definitely supposed to be way higher.
Yep. How would you rate your performance in that first game?
Nah, I ain't. That first game was not me at all. Like, even though we got the W and it was good, it was the first, you know, my first W as the quarterback of Jackson State. I didn't like how I played at all. I missed a couple throws out there. I made some plays. Mm-hmm. Even though I made plays, it was still, you know, the small things stick out most, like they fumble on the 1 yard line if I didn't have that. So yeah, I didn't like my performance at all. I wasn't pleased with my performance. So that's why I was eager to come out last week and just show everybody I was way better than that.
Yep, and that's exactly what you did. You followed that performance up with your coming out party versus UAPB, 26 for 36, 373 yards, 5 touchdowns, and you were just named, right before this recording, you were named SWAC Player of the Week. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. What were you seeing out there?
Yep. What were you seeing out there against UAPB to have so much success?
Coaches did a great job at practice of showing us what we're going to see and giving us the right looks. So for me, it was just going out there and giving my guys a chance with the ball. I know what they're going to do with it. Everybody out there is playmakers. So just giving the ball to anybody, you know, DJ had a big game. Fabo had a big game. So just spreading the ball to my playmakers and let them do what they do. And it just made my job easier. But from the coach's standpoint, they did a great job that week at practice.
So I want to talk about some of those playmakers, because you've developed a quick chemistry and a lot of chemistry with a few of those guys, specifically Fabian, DJ, and then Hayden Hagler, who hadn't been known as a pass catcher throughout his career, more of a blocker, but I mean, 6 catches out of the blue when you became the starter. Yeah. So just talk about that chemistry with those three. We'll get into some other guys, but those three, how it has developed so quickly.
Yeah, like I was saying, like, they're my brothers out there. Like, I don't see no number. I don't see Fabo, I just see my brothers out there, and I know what they can do. I'll be at practice with them, and I trust them 110%. So just when I'm out there, you know, I trust any ball that is 50-50. Hayden can go get it. DJ can go get it. Fabo can go get it. Duke can go get it. Kobe can go get it. Rico. I can go on and on. So it's just having that trust and building it, even though I've been hurt, just watching them and knowing what they're good at and putting them in the right spot to, you know, actually make a play on the ball. I just know every time they're going to come down with it.
Yep. You named a bunch of guys, and you spread the ball out. In both games, both starts, you spread the ball around to 8 different receivers. That has to be a quarterback's dream to have those many weapons. Talk about Coach Mo Harris and that offense and what you like about it.
Oh, yeah. He's going to let you be yourself. Like, he told me when I got back, you know, just play your game, and we're going to put you in the right spots. And I have full confidence in anything, in any play he calls. I feel like it's going to work. It's going to hit for a touchdown. So, just having Coach Mo and Coach Billerman behind me, just allowing me to be myself, and just being amazing. I feel like that's where more of my success came from the coaches.
And with all those guys catching passes, there's still a lot of talent sitting over there on the sidelines that hadn't even been able to hit the field yet. Give us a couple names. I know you got a bunch of them, but just give me one or two names of some receivers who aren't in the rotation right now, but you're seeing them at practice, and you know when they get their shot, they're going to shine.
Yeah, we got a lot of guys. We got Isaiah. Actually, it's two Isaiah. Isaiah
Kendall. Isaiah Kendall, because we know about Spencer. Yeah, so you're talking about Kendall. Yeah.
Yeah, we got both of those out there. Then, you know, you got Jonas. He's a big play guy. We're trying to get him implemented into the offense.
16.
Yep. We got Jew. He's a smaller guy on the inner slot. It's electric. That I love his game. And the running backs. I know they running backs, but their hands is just as legit as the wide receivers. You got JD. You got, even though Irv is hurt right now. But you got Dez and the running backs. The running backs on the hands just as great.
Yep. And J.D. Martin, you mentioned him. You didn't have him in that first game, your first start, and you didn't use him much in the first half of the second game, but then you guys kind of unleashed him. Talk about having that added dimension and his ability to catch out of the backfield that gives you that kind of that safety net that you can dump the ball off to.
Yeah, you know, just trying to – he'd been injured, so trying to get him back into the game flow, I was just, you know, seeing what he can do and knowing what he can do at practice. Just you get J.D. the ball – your job is done. JD is an amazing player. He gonna make, I feel like, he can make anybody miss. You can't tap him one-on-one. Mm-hmm. So just if it's a 1 yard route and I just give it to him, I have full confidence that JD might break it and go 99 yards or 70 yards. So just getting JD the ball and let JD do what he's always been able to do.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of weapons. You talk about, you know, going 99 yards. We haven't even mentioned Andre Hunt. That's what he does, right? So it's just a lot of guys.
One play guy. Give it to him, he's gone. One play.
Yep. And your quarterback coach, you mentioned him, Coach Quinn Billerman, QB. With his initials, he had to play QB, and he had to be a quarterback coach. QB. Yes, but I just talked about how he's helped you as a quarterback in this system.
Yeah, he's helped me tremendously. You know, the confidence and the relationship me and him has had just and helped me unleash another side of me that, you know, I didn't even know I had. So, just have somebody that supports you 110%, that understands anything you're going through the ups and downs, and being able to help you out at any time, even when he's mad or we might not be on the same page. But even though he's willing to help me out and, you know, give me the right things, give me the right confidence to go out there and make another play. Yeah, Coach Billerman, he's been a great coach.
And we got to have you talk about Coach TC. You know, obviously, when he first started recruiting you, he was a position coach. And now, being the head coach, he'll talk about what it's like playing for him.
Yeah, playing for Coach TC is like, I can't even describe it. Like, I never had that type of feeling where it's like the coach actually, he feels like one of the players. Like, when you're playing with him, he's enjoying the game. He's very enthusiastic. If you score, he's going to celebrate with you. He loves the game just like one of us. I don't even know how to. That's the crazy thing. Like, I be trying to. I get asked this question. Get asked a lot, and it's just like Coach TC just feels like one of us. It's an amazing feeling. Like, I just can't even describe it. He's just a player's coach.
Absolutely. All right, man. So you said you grew up a fan, came to a lot of games. So what is it like? You already knew what that environment and that atmosphere at the Vet was like, but what has it been like actually being a Tiger and playing in front of these fans?
It's been everything that, you know, I thought it was going to be growing up. Like I said, I just feel like I grew up in that stadium. I've been there for 18 years, just season tickets since I was a baby. So being able to actually come from out the stands into the field and actually just playing, man, it's like a dream. Just like I'm still living in a dream. And I'm just, right now, I'm just steady grasping it, like that I'm actually the quarterback of Jack State. Even though, you know, you always had this vision, like, man, when I do this, I'm going to be the quarterback. I'm going to have these games and do this and that. But it's just still like a dream. Like, I'm just living in it. That's why I say I just take one day at a time. I don't really be on social media. I just do what I got to do. For me, it's just an eye-opening situation right now for me. Still a dream.
Right. And have you started to envision yet Saturday running out that tunnel as the starter? Because you know, you've been out of the tunnel several times, even played in the stadium as a backup, but now running out knowing you're going to start. Have you started to kind of think about that and imagine what the emotions may be like?
Yeah, crazy thing. Me and my dad were talking about it last night. He was telling me how would it feel, you know, how it's going to feel going out there as the quarterback of Jackson State. And I was telling him, like, man, I don't even know. It's just something I just got to experience right now. Right now, you just try to play it cool and, you know, you won't let it, you know, get to you. But when I get out there and just hear that crowd and I know I'm the first guy to walk on that field when the offense get called out there, it's going to be something special for me. It's going to be a very special moment.
Absolutely. And how has your life changed since you became the starter? So give me a story. I know the social media probably started blowing up, and I don't know, maybe when you go to the store, grab something to eat, hearing from the fans, give me a story.
Just, I say the biggest thing that I can say is after the games, getting to take the pictures with the kids. Like, I'm not a public guy. Like, okay. I'm not really outside doing too much of anything, more in the house. So, you know, the older adults, they'll come ask for pictures, but when the kids come, it's like it give me a different type of feel. Like, and it makes me feel good because I was one of them. Like, I seen the players, and I can rename so many players just growing up that now I'm one of the ones that, you know, they taking pictures with. So that's been the biggest thing with me, just taking pictures with those kids, knowing I was them, feel like yesterday. So, yeah, that's the biggest thing.
Any player that you remember growing up that stood out, that stands out now, maybe one of your favorites, or just too many to name?
Gee, I hope I don't go blank right now, but I could name, okay. We got Rico Richardson. We got Casey Theriot. We got, I remember Coach Rick Comegy.
Definitely.
Yeah, it was I remember Chris Ivory. I remember he had his brother at Valley, and they played against each other.
I could tell, you followed the team growing up. You're naming some names. You put some names out there. So one player he was probably a little bit before your time, but we still mention his name a lot. He's one of the greatest. He played your position. Before I tell you about him, I want to ask you about the celebration that we see. That celebration. So tell me about that. Is that Superman or what is that?
Yeah, see, Cam is my favorite player. Like, he inspired me to do, he inspired my game. So when I bring that out, it's just like it reliving that Cam moment, just reliving who I always watched growing up. So yeah, that's that. That's where I get it from.
So I got a name for you. Like I said, it a little bit before your time, but he's in the record books. Have you heard the name Robert Kent, quarterback at Jackson State?
Man, that sounds so familiar. Robert Kent.
So I want you to look him up and research him. Record-setting quarterback. He held a bunch of the records. Shadour actually took out a couple of the records during his time here, but Kent was there from 99 to 03. And, single season passing yards, completions, career passing yards, pretty much every passing record he had. But with the last name Kent, he had the nickname of Superman. So he's known as Superman Kent, Superman Robert Kent in Jackson State history. Yep. So now we got another Superman. So it's big shoes to fill, but definitely research him when you get some time. Great guy, Robert Kent. Shout out to him. And then last thing, man, this is what everybody wants to know. Eligibility. How many years you got left after this one?
After this one, I got two more because it says on paper that I'm a redshirt junior, but I'm actually a redshirt sophomore because I had the COVID year and then I redshirted last year. So playing it right now is a redshirt sophomore. So after this one, two more years left.
Wow. So you got time to do some damage here at Jackson State, man. So we love it. Absolutely love it. So a message for the fans. So if you're the quarterback of the future, tell them what they can expect. What do you want to say to them?
What they can expect. They can expect somebody who's day in and day out the same guy, who's going to work every day, get up at 5 a.m, is going to learn everything he can about the game. And so on Saturdays, I can give them the entertainment that they want, because at the end of the day, we are entertainment. Like, we are Jackson State. We are for the people. So at the end of the day, come that Saturday, giving the fans a show. You know, that's what I want to do. That's what we're here for. Even though we're, college athletes, on that Saturdays, we turn that switch on and we are entertainers. So fans, every time, they can expect a show.
Absolutely. All right, man. I know you said you're a private guy, not much on social media, but for the fans who are on social media looking for you, if they don't know where you are, go ahead and give them that Twitter info. I guess they call it X now, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever else they can find you.
Yeah, Twitter is it should be Jacoby_Morgan, and Instagram is what I'm mainly on. It's KobyXBBM, and the BBM part just is a what I got from basketball group. My basketball group, Be Better Mentality, and you know they stick with me, so that's what that means right there.
All right, QB1, Jacoby_Morgan. Finally, we got him on Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club. He has a couple more games this season, and we want to see you go out with a bang.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank y'all.
All right, man. Okay, man. Take it easy.
I'll take it easy.
Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club is presented by Bet Online.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.